Good afternoon, everybody, and a happy Monday to you. My name is Pete Lowenstein, and I'm coming to you from NPR in Washington, and this is the first of a new series of interconnects we're going to be holding with you over the coming months to have an opportunity to talk with you about what's happening with the public radio satellite system. The travel restrictions and all the economic concerns we're all having right now is preventing a lot of us from getting around and having face-to-face encounters with you as much as we might in a normal year. So we're using this opportunity to connect with you through a variety of means, and this will be one thing we try and do on a regular basis. A couple of reminders as we get started here today. We are both going over the satellite, so if you're listening to us there, welcome. And we also have a conference bridge set up, which I'm hearing many of you check into through your beeps as I'm sitting here. And the number, for those of you who would like to call in and join us, you hear the beeps in the background, is 1-877-214-5010. That's 1-877-214-5010. When you come in, you'll be asked to insert a code, and that code number is 883291. 883291. And when you do check in on the conference bridge, if you're going to be monitoring that way, we would ask you to put your phones on mute if you can do that, especially if you're on a speakerphone, so that we don't hear a lot of background noise. But obviously, when you want to jump into the conversation or ask a question, you would need to unmute. The other way you can contact us, if you would care to, is to send us an email. We have people who are monitoring our email site right now, and that would be prssplanning@npr.org, prssplanning@npr.org. So those are the ways to reach us today. The topic of our conversation today is to give you an introduction to certainly to talk with you about things happening around the PRSS today, but also to give you a chance to meet and be introduced to our new customer outreach group that's a fairly recent addition to the distribution division. And we went through a rather significant reorganization internally over the last 6 to 9 months. And one of the things that was a byproduct of that was to create a new unit in the distribution division that serves the PRSS, and that's called our Customer Development and Account Management Group. And so today we'd like to have a chance for you to meet the folks who are specifically working in that area and get to know them and to address some of the questions that you may have that would be of a more general nature around the PRSS, and maybe less of a focus today on some of the technology and operational issues. We do have regular teleconferences that we plan to focus on, as we have in the past, about particular specific technology challenges you're having, or the ways to address either bugs or things you'd like to see the system do in way of enhancements or operational improvements. But we really would like today to have a chance for you to meet the account management team. So with that, let me give you the number once again, and then I'll introduce our first guest today. The number to call into the bridge is 1-877-214-5010. And when you call into that number, the account code that you'll need to enter is 883291, 883291. Or you can email questions to us at prssplanning@npr.org. So with that, let me first introduce George Jimmerginis, who is here sitting right to my left. And George is the Director of Customer Development in our new organization, although George has been a member of our team for many years, and I think probably many of you who have been around the system for a while know George as the guy who has been running our business activities for many years. And so I'm pleased to introduce George in this new role today, and George has some other folks he'd like to introduce you to as well. So George, take it away.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us today. Again, our goal is to hear from you, so please give us a call and ask us some questions, but we're going to move quickly through this first part in order to save time for questions, of course. There's two people I want to introduce, both Megan Williams and Earl Johnson, and they are our new customer development group. Quickly, the goal of that group is to increase contact and communications between you, both producers and stations, and us at the PRSS, and to use those improved communications to improve our system. Many of you probably still deal with Kay, Keith, and Holly on an everyday basis, and they are a key part of our team, but somebody's got music on there. I don't know if you've got background music going, someone, but we do hear it.
We think it's music on hold.
Right. Kay, Keith, and Holly are the people you talk to every day with daily needs, and Megan and Earl are trying to concentrate on some longer-term communications and methods to work with you. Quickly, I want to talk about Earl Johnson. Earl has just joined the PRSS recently. Earl has come to us through the public radio system for many years. He started in public radio at WPFW here in Washington, D.C. many years ago. He moved to Atlanta, WABE, and was operations manager there, and moved up to be vice president and general manager of the station. And then briefly, before coming to his senses, he moved up to be VP and general manager of both television and radio. But he came back to seeing the light and was in charge of radio, and then came to here at NPR and the PRSS. Earl was at WABE at an interesting time with the rollout of the Content Depot and the second rollout of the Content Depot and the change of workflow, et cetera, at the station. So he's been able to add a lot to our team through his experiences. And of course, he was a part of other organizations in public radio and has a broad background within the public radio system. Megan Williams, and I noticed both Earl Johnson and Megan Williams don't have sort of the kind of name as Jim or Gina, so you would know exactly who they were. But Megan Williams is the person who has worked with you for many years here at PRSS, and she was an account representative. She was also a key part of our team as we made the conversion to the Content Depot. Megan's worked with stations and producers through this transition, and she's also a part of our testing team, which helps her really get to some of the inside of how the Content Depot releases are working. So with that, I'm going to try and move right along to speak first from Pete, and then Earl will take the microphone.
I just apologize to the stations who are hearing the music on the line. I assume some station has its station on hold running right now. So, and I believe you're hearing it much louder on your end than we are here. So I don't know if presumably the station who's got us on hold with this nice background is probably not able to hear this, but if you're having a problem hearing us here on this end, especially if you want to jump in, if you could maybe send us a quick note to PRSS planning@npr.org, we'll know a little bit better how things are sounding on your end right now. But we apologize, and perhaps here in a minute they'll take us off hold.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. I'm Earl Johnson. As George alluded to earlier, the primary goal of the account management office is to interact directly with stations and producers to provide first and foremost customer service. In doing so, we hope to gain some insights into some of the successes and challenges you have experienced over the last 2 to 3 years. As many of you may be aware, this is the time period when the Content Depot first became the official distribution vehicle of the PRSS. So in addition to our direct contact with the stations and customer service, we also want to strengthen and expand our relationships between the PRSS and our current network of interconnected stations and producers. In doing so, we will be attending a number of conferences. So far, I've attended the PRIMA Regional Conference the Black Radio Conference, the National Federation of Community Broadcasters. I will be attending the Prendi Conference coming up, I think, in June, and then the PRPD sometime in September. And I would also like to extend an invitation to say if there are any regional meetings that you guys are having out there in public radio that you would like for Megan and I to attend, please feel free to invite us. We'd be more than happy to come by your stations or just to, you know, come and visit you at your stations. Of course, we can't make it to all 400 and some odd interconnected stations, but we'll try to do the best we can. The second goal that I think I want to talk about is we want to expand the number of interconnected stations and producers that are using the PRSS. This month, we were happy to bring on board a new producer, the African American Public Radio Consortium, which is currently producing the new Michael Eric Dyson program, and we're happy to have them on board. We have at least six stations that are pending interconnection, either through satellite or internet stations, and I hope to keep growing that number. So, like I said, so far we're at 400 and some odd members of the interconnection system, and we'd like to grow it as much as we can over the next several years. We also like to gain a better understanding of how stations and producers are using this new technology and its applications to the public radio satellite system. By visiting a number of stations, what we've been able to ascertain so far is that every station pretty much uses the Content Depot differently, and Megan probably can talk a little bit more about this. Some of the stations that we've visited so far and we're talking to, we find that originally the Content Depot, I guess, was designed to be a one-size-fits-all, but we're finding that's not really necessarily the case. Megan, you want to talk a little bit about...
Yeah, sure. Hi, everyone. Over the past few months, Earl and I have had the opportunity to visit with various stations and producers in the system, and it does really help to sit down on a one-on-one basis with our customers and see how they use the system. In December, I traveled to Pittsburgh. It was actually my first trip within this position, and I visited three stations in 2 days and learned not only that those stations are completely unique from one another, but that they all use our system in entirely different ways. So we suspect that this holds true across the entire country. So it's interesting to learn how broad our user group is, and it helps us as we prioritize enhancements and new products. So we've all got to keep in mind that it's not a one-size-fits-all scenario, like Earl said.
Another of the things that we want to try to do with this new office is we want to try to promote some of the new services and that we currently have that our customers may not know about. And one of the ones I've been really excited about is called the Exchange. Basically, what that does is a means by which stations that are working together, either in a news partnership or, say, if it's four or five jazz stations, to have a means by which they can share content. Just recently visited the three stations in Atlanta, WABE, WCLK, and Georgia Public Radio, and they were already working under a partnership which they were exchanging news through an FTP file. And I went down and talked to them about possibly using the Exchange to do so as opposed to using the FTP. And they were very receptive to it. And as a result, we now have a new Exchange that's set up. We're calling the Georgia Exchange through those three stations. What it does, it gives stations not only the opportunity to work together in the market, but it also helps stations that may not have the full advantage of having a full news staff. Having them have access to local news content that they can use within their area. So if any of you are out there and you're currently working under these kind of partnerships, I'd be more than happy to come by and visit your stations and talk to you about how you can set up your Exchange yourself. And I hope to meet some of you when I'm at the Prendi conference in June. Another of the services that we have are called the Translator Repeater Networks, and this is just a means by which stations can feed programming to other stations that they own and operate. And we currently have a few of them out there now, and I'm sure there are probably others that we can sign up. So these are just two of the services that we're going to be trying to or hoping to promote among the our users, and I look forward to talking to you further about it.
Okay, well, I'll jump in again for just a second and say we're aware that there is still some music, and I assume it's actually a station on-air signal that's coming through right now, because every now and then I'll hear some announcements in the background. And we're attempting to try to get that corrected, but for now, I hope you can hear us okay. If not, you can always go on to, if you can subscribe to this on your Content Depot service, that would be another way to hear this. And we do have an ability to turn the level of the phone service down on what's going over the satellite right now. But if you're on the bridge, I'm hearing from some of you who've written into us that it's a bit obnoxious and hard to hear. So we apologize for that. If any of you do hear the station announcement in the background, it might give some clue as to where this is coming from. If you would drop us an email at prssplanning@npr.org, we'll try and get in touch with the station directly and ask them to take us off hold. So with that, back to you folks, and let's see, do we have any questions or calls coming in at this point?
You guys are awfully quiet out there. I mean, I never known stations to be this this quiet when it comes to, you know, asking questions or having comments.
I have a question. This is Victoria St. John from Vermont Public Radio.
Hi, Victoria.
Hello. I'm on the PRSS User Summit, and, you know, with the budget this year, I don't think we're going to be getting together as a team, but I did have a question for you about messaging in the Content Depot, and we were part of a team that was a messaging task force, and stations need to generate a powerful mechanism for urgent messaging that is sent, you know, as an email-based and can generate SMS text messages. I'm wondering where you guys stand with that right now. Can you hear me?
Messaging is something that we're still working on improving, and it's definitely on our list within the next few releases of one of the things that we'd like to see improved.
The music is so distracting. Is that, I'm so sorry if I
did you
sound
did you hear that. The answer?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yes. It's like a very badly mixed music bed where the music is way hotter than the voice. So. Okay, so I just wanted to make sure that was still in your priority list.
It definitely is.
And in addition to that, Victoria, I mean, if there's anything other than that, I mean, the unfortunate thing about the user summer is that we can't, you know, always bring together, you know, people as often as we'd like. And so last year when we had the summit, it took about another year for us to, you know, to roll out some of those same things that we found out from the summit. So we definitely want to try to have a lot more direct feedback from you and not just have to wait and do it through the summit. So Meg and I are always open to those types of suggestions or anything that you experience at your station that you want us to at least address or with the folks back here, then please be, give us a call, you know, email us and let us know. You don't always have to go through the summit to do that because, you know,
The work that has been done. There's been a lot of improvements on Content Depot. So thank you for the work you have done.
Thank you.
Great. So I'll just take an opportunity to put the number out one more time. If you would like to call into the bridge, it's 1-877-214-5010. 877-214-5010, and the conference code when you call in is 883291, 883291. And I've had some feedback that this is not a station's on-air signal. It's actually a nice announcement in the background periodically that says thank you for staying on hold, or something to that effect. So I'm hoping we can tolerate this, but actually, Victoria, you sounded pretty nice with some background music behind you. It was rather celestial, and certainly we could hear every word you said, so we appreciate your checking in with us on this and invite others to do so now as well.
Do we have any other questions out there? Certainly want to hear from you and don't want to just kind of sit here and put forth information that you may be interested in or you may not be.
Thank you for holding.
Okay, well, I will just say a bit or two about the upcoming rates and fees, which is part of our July DI committee meeting and our board meeting here at NPR. And, of course, we are aware that people are all interested in what the rates and fees will be for next year. And although they're not approved until July, we have spoken with the committee, and of course NPR and all the public radio stations, I believe, across the country realize it's a tight budgeting year, and we're going to make every effort to try and have minimal, if any, rate and fee increases. And so from that point of view, I think our goal in July is to try and come forth with no increases. But we still have to approve a final budget, and that's part of the process we're working through here. So we are aware of what's going on in the public radio world. Our goal is to have no increases, and we're going to make every effort to achieve that goal. Are there any other questions out there? Again, I can give the number, 1-877-214-5010, and the code is 883291. So please give us a call. Also, we have a number for you for the help desk if you have trouble on a daily basis. Hopefully you know this, but in case you don't, it's 1-800-971-7677. What we have done in our previous board meeting is change the way we do rates and fees just a little bit, so that we're going to have, starting in January, a blended rate for both stereo and a blended rate for mono programs, so that you will not see the ingest or what we used to call uplink fee, but you'll see a blended rate for each quarter hour of programming, measured in megabits as we do today. So that will be something a little bit different that you'll see starting in January. We want to make you aware of that.
So I'd like to jump in and ask them. I know we did, during the reorganization, one of the things that they did was to extend the hours of the help desk. And I know I often see email come in from stations about various problems that they're having with, you know, either Content Depot or some other technical issues. So I'd like to kind of throw out there, I mean, how is that working for you guys? I mean, is it something that is the process a lot easier to get through? Is it not working for you guys? I mean, can have any opinions about, you know, how the system works? I mean, how it can be improved? Is something we can do differently, or does it work just fine? Is anybody out there?
We have some intelligence coming back from the field that says there are people out there. The music is now gone, apparently. So that's, I've got the sound you hear in the background is my fingers being crossed that we're over that rough little hump here.
Hey, I would just like to get back to someone emailed in and said, just as I was talking about the blended rates for next year, there was some burst of energy or noise on the conference call. So let me just repeat quickly that the change that the DI committee has approved, which will take effect in January, is that we will not have uplink or ingest fees associated with the satellite time. It'll just be a blended rate, so you'll have one rate which will incorporate both your satellite space and ingest fee into one single rate. So we had people ask us about that before. It was confusing or it was difficult, and that's a change we've been able to make, and you will see that as of January. So thank you for that question. And if we have any others, please don't hesitate to call.
I will jump in now that it appears our music on hold has gone off to just alert folks that if you are listening, you can put us on mute, but we'd ask you not to put us on hold because probably lots of you have that capability on your phone systems, and it does make it hard for everybody else to hear. I would wonder if Earl or Megan might want to share some of the things that they've picked up as they've made their rounds to some of the stations they visited over recent months, and if they've noticed any particular trends that might be worth sharing that might stimulate some thoughts with the folks who are on the line today?
Well, generally what I've been finding is that stations overall seem to have a very good opinion about the PRSS, and which is hopefully the reason why they don't have any questions, because, you know, they're completely satisfied with what we're doing. But we even want to do a much better job. But like I alluded to earlier, that the stations always use it differently. I mean, like I said, Megan and I have been traveling around to a few stations here in the D.C. area, and one in Baltimore, and she's been to a couple of stations and met with some producers in Philadelphia, I believe it.
Pittsburgh,
I'm sorry. And what she's found is that they aren't using it, you know, as a one size fits all, and I guess that's good in a sense, because now we have a better idea that when we're working on a lot of the enhancements that we want to roll out over the next several years, we need to take in consideration that there are a lot of different users, and there are a lot of ways in which users are using the system. But like I said, overall, I think people are very pleased with the PRSS. I haven't heard anything negative about the system or the department when I've been out there. So that's always good. It makes our jobs a lot easier.
One positive thing I've noticed is that most of the feedback I get regarding future upgrades and station needs, it's in line with what we're already working on. Back to Victoria's questions, such as messaging, I've definitely gotten feedback from a lot of stations saying that, you know, they'd like a better messaging system, and it's going to take a while to fix because we have to rebuild it, but it is one thing we're looking at. And just along the lines with promos, reports, we've always heard from producers that they want to report. So that's one piece of positive news, is that producers can now generate a program subscription report and see which stations have subscribed to their programs. So I've gotten a lot of positive feedback about that, and they can see the intended station air schedule.
There have been about, I think I've counted at least eight things that we've worked on over the last year. I think the biggest of these have been the Backup Operation Network Center, the BUNOC, which is something that came out of came from the system. When, as some of you may recall, when we had that blackout several years ago, and we immediately decided that we needed to have a plan in place in case that ever happened again. And fortunately, over the several years that the PRS has been in operation, that's never happened. But we didn't want to take that say that it couldn't happen again. So one of the things that we did was shift all out of our resources into putting in a backup system. We've also done some work on an improved search feature, the enhanced reports that you're now able to get, the WebDAC screen refresh, the year-long episode air windows, which have been very good for producers because they now have an opportunity to see which stations are carrying their programs. The Firefox 3 compatibility, we're sorry messages, we still have those, but not on the level that we were having them before. And then in the new promo folders on receivers that we are now working on. Again, I'd like to throw it out to you guys. I mean, are there other things that you know of that we may not be aware of that you would like us to take a look at, or that you might want to address with us at this current time? You guys are very easy to please, I tell you.
Back to content exchanges, which I think Earl might have mentioned a little bit about earlier, but it's basically a way for a community of stations, and the community is however you define yourself. It could be a local community, like the Georgia Content Exchange is basically Atlanta stations. It could be a statewide community, such as the North Carolina Exchange, which we have, and that's and they share statewide news. It can be a theme-based exchange, such as a health exchange, but however you define community, and that's a good way to share content. You can share shorts, unfinished stories, segments that might be embedded in other news shows, scripts, images, and it's all a part of the Content Depot. So that's one feature that we're trying to promote. It's been around for a while, but we just haven't had the opportunity to promote it. So if you're interested in that, definitely get in touch with us, please.
Yeah, and the most important thing is that there's no additional charge. It's a part of your already subscription service as being a customer of the PRSS. So that's always a good selling point for me when I go in, and when I was at the Atlanta stations, and one of the first things that come up as it does most times you're dealing with public radio stations, and I can attest to this, is that you always want to know what the price is going to be. What is it going to cost you? And I think this is one of those services that we definitely are very proud to give to you, and without any additional cost. And like I said, it is a good way for stations, you know, to work together in the market. I mean, often that's a big obstacle for station managers or station management to overcome, because we oftentimes, you know, look at one another as being competitors, and not looking at the opportunity to serve the audience a lot better. And with the exchanges, it does, like I said, give you the opportunity to expand your local news service beyond your own station, and that's something I think is very reasonable in this, considering this economic climate. One of the things, the reason that we started it in Georgia, they started in Georgia, was we were finding that we were sending out, you know, we would often go to press conferences, and we would find that we have three reporters from each of the stations at the same press conference. And we thought, well, this is really a waste of resources. If we could just send one reporter here, and that one reporter could share the conference information that they found out with the other two stations, then we could free up the other two reporters to go elsewhere. And I think once you start thinking in terms of that, you know, thinking along those lines, then you find ways to partner with your local stations in the community. And I think this exchange is something I'm really excited about. So I definitely would like to have the opportunity to come by and meet with those stations in the market that are working together under a similar partnership to see how we can make the exchange work for you.
Let me throw the number out again, just in case anyone is wanting to join us and hasn't done so yet on the bridge. It's 1-877-214-5010, and I'll do that again, 1-877-214-5010, and the conference code is 883291, 883291. And you can also email us if you'd prefer to do that, if you have something on your mind, at prssplanning@npr.org. I mean, Megan, both you and Earl have made the point that as you've traveled around at the stations, you really are finding how much diversity there is in the way individual organizations use the Content Depot and the other PRSS resources. And we certainly like to hear when you come back from those trips what you find, because, you know, obviously from here we see the kind of big the overall view, but we until we have an opportunity to sort of see what happens at the other end in more detail, it's hard to put it into a context. But we've known for years that given the diversity of station capabilities and requirements, that there are all sorts of pretty creative ways that people are using the services that we provide. So we do have a question that looks like that has just come in from Robert Powell at West Virginia Public Radio. And let's see here, I'm reading this live. I've worked with Content Depot material at West Virginia Public Radio for over a year now, and generally I've found that the website is very flexible, but would like to see more consistent location for promos under program listings. Robert thinks it's confusing to have to subscribe to a program listing and then its subsequent promo listing. And so we might want to share whatever we can on that topic, the promo aspects of the Content Depot. Another problem he's reporting here is he was listening to the discussion live and Fresh Air stepped on the discussion. That's interesting. I don't know whether we had maybe more than one station on hold or whether this was something in the stream or... it may be a decoder. Yeah, it may be a decoder assignment on the ports. So that maybe you had two programs that were subscribed to the same port within the same programming window. So my guess is that may be what happened there. Anyway, thank you for the for checking in with us here, Robert, and maybe the some of our team can chat a bit about the promo situation.
Well, promos, it's one of the things that I get a lot of feedback about from stations that currently a lot of stations are using promos differently, and I think a lot of producers are delivering promos differently because it's not ideal. I know it's hard to find them in the receiver. Recently, with the rollout of Release 14, we added a new promo archive folder, so hopefully that's been able to help some of you to some extent, but that's not the end of promos. It's still on our list of priorities for enhancements to the Content Depot. So hopefully you'll see some improvements in the not too far future. And we appreciate any feedback about that, about how you use promos, because right now it seems like a lot of stations use promos differently. Some people are downloading them off of the Content Depot page, and because they need to tag them anyway. There are just a lot of different details. Some people do their own promos, so it is station to station. So it's again not an easy fix like messaging.
But I like to send out this challenge to all of you, because I know there are a lot of smart minds in public radio, and a lot of times, you know, we can figure out things that, you know, that maybe the PRSS can't figure out. So we're gonna depend on a lot from your input, and you may have, you know, a fix for this. So I mean, not necessarily it's one that's gonna be a fix for everyone, but at least you may have some suggestions on how we may go about approaching this problem. So we definitely want to hear from you. I mean, Megan and I mean, I'll give out my email address. It's ejohnson@w. God, slipping back into my old station. ejohnson@npr.org. And Megan is M. Williams at...
I'm an oddball. It's M.L. Williams at npr.org. Yeah. And if you want to give me a call, my number is 202-513-2635.
So. And mine is 202-513-2613. So again, I put out the challenge to all of you that there are a number of things, and most of which we're working under now came from the last year's User Summit, and with the budget cuts that we've experienced or are experienced also, we may or may not have a User Summit this year, but we definitely don't want to stop that from giving you the opportunity to participate in how we are addressing some of these fixes and some of the other concerns that you have at your station. So there's always a way that you can contact us. And again, more than happy to come by and visit, you know, you individually as a station, or if you're having a regional meeting in your market, then please feel free to invite Megan and I to it, and we'll be more than happy to try to attend.
All right. We also want to create dialogue between the stations. We've had success with that in the past at the User Summit, which Victoria mentioned. Also at some conferences, we've tried to get different stations and producers together to discuss and exchange information about how they use our system. So we feel like we're successful in that when we're able to do that. So if you have any tips or tricks and you want to call in and share them, that's great. If you have any questions that you want to pose to us or even to the system. And we hope to maybe organize something like that at the next PRPD.
Mini user group summit. Yes.
One of the other many tools that we are increasingly looking to how to improve is our websites, so that to the extent we have not had the time or resources to really keep those websites vibrant and fresh and functional to the extent that we would like, we now are really turning to that as another really important way for us to be able to communicate with you on a regular basis of important things that are happening around the system, but also use that as a way to showcase some of the individual success stories that are taking place out there around the system as Earl and Megan come back from their visits with you. This is really something maybe not many of you know or think about very often, but there are something in the order of 450, maybe slightly less than that, stations who are directly interconnected to the PRSS, and then there's another roughly 400 stations, just about an equal amount, of stations who are piggybacking on those that are connected directly to the system. So there are about 800 stations out there in the PRSS network that are, as we were saying earlier, using the system in ways that meet their needs, but not necessarily have a whole lot in common necessarily with everybody else. So one of the nice parts about the way the current system architecture is set up and the way it functions compared to the old legacy system is we really were really very limited in the old legacy system into the types of services and the way the system could work in a more customizable way for each station. And so we were locked into a fairly tight set of services and functions that we could support in the old system. But the new system is very different than that. And so we think this opportunity now to get to know your individual local operations much better and how we can help use this new toolkit that we all have in place is something that we're looking forward to as a way to really change both the relationship with the stations that we have now going forward, and secondly, to be able to provide many more services that are maybe individualized around your local needs. So that's a pretty exciting new aspect of the way the new system operates. And of course, we're still working, as we were saying earlier, to add some of the functions that we've heard about in our prior user summits, and constantly we're getting feedback from you as we do surveys and have face-to-face encounters with you, which is really part of what we're really anxious to keep going.
Pete, I'd just like to add a bit. I think this is I applaud the PRSS for taking this initiative and doing this. I mean, you know, often in times where, you know, there is economic situations at stations or on the whole and in general population, customer service is always the first thing to get cut. I mean, you know, you start to provide good customer service to your customers, and then, you know, your financial situation changes, and you're not able to keep that up. But I think, and I applaud the PRSS for making this move at this time, and putting that on a high priority list for stations, so that we're saying that to you that you are important to us, and we're not going to cut back our service. We're going to extend it. And we're going to expand it to the point that we want even more feedback from you guys so that we can do a better job than what we have been doing. So I think this has been a good move on their part, and I'm hopeful that all of you out there in the public radio system will take advantage of this. I mean, I know for working at the station for many years, I mean, there was oftentimes I didn't know who to contact, you know, regarding some technical need I was having if it was outside of my engineering department, and NPR can be kind of a large yielding place sometimes, and if you know that there's someone who's specifically there to assist you in that regard, that's very helpful, and I'm hoping you guys will take advantage of that. So
well, the last report I had was there were maybe 10 or 15 people were still on the line, but it's mighty quiet out there. I don't even hear any breathing, even certainly not heavy breathing. But we are obviously anxious to chat with you if you have anything you'd like to chat with us about. So we have time reserved up till the half hour mark, so we're good to go here for a bit longer. If you again want to check in with us, the telephone number, if you're listening on the satellite, is 1-877-214-5010, and the conference code for us is 883291. And an email question to prssplanning@npr.org will also work too. We're monitoring that email site right now.
Well, this is truly amazing. I can't believe how quiet you guys are. But, I mean, this could be a good thing. That could mean that you guys have no questions, and it could mean you're all asleep. And
are they this quiet when you go for a visit?
Not really. They're more apt to speak up and let us know what they're thinking, and I really appreciate that. So,
well, we'll hold it here for maybe another minute, and if we've got no other burning questions out there, then maybe we'll break a little bit early. But again, as I said at the opening, we are anxious to do this on a periodic basis, since we all of us aren't able to travel around and meet at conferences at with the same degree of frequency we normally would have before. So we'll try to schedule these maybe a couple of times a month, maybe too often, but certainly on a regular basis to get with you on a variety of topics. We do have another question that just popped in on our website from Stephen Gilbreth at, he's calling in, or writing in actually, as a producer. He is interested in knowing which stations might be interested in some reports from a new contact that he has with a correspondent inside of Israel. This is an interesting email. He did some reports with this correspondent during the Gaza conflict, and he just wrote to him and had some more inside Israeli information that he'd be happy to share. So if any of you have an interest perhaps in following through on that, they can give a call, I guess, or send an email. His email address is slg at prww.org. And his phone number is 212-241-0556. That's 212-241-0556, and that's to Stephen Gilbreth. And again, it's for anyone who has interest in perhaps connecting with a correspondent inside Israel. And Stephen can help you make that contact. So this is from your full service distribution division and the PRSS. Well, hearing no other incoming calls or emails, I guess we can say that we will close out for this afternoon and look forward to the next time. George, Earl, Megan, any final thoughts before we sign off?
I'll throw out my phone number and email address one last time, just okay. In case anybody thinks of anything after the call. I'm mlwilliams@npr.org, and my number is 202-513-2635.
And mine is ejohnson@npr.org, and my phone number is 202-513-2613. And again, I look forward to seeing some of you at the upcoming conferences, the Prindy conference, and then the PRPD conference. And aside from that, I may call you up and say I'm going to stop by and visit you as individually in your market as a station. And when we do that, we also try to meet with as many stations in the market as we can, so we're trying to be as cost-effective as we can and not just go see one station, but if there are a number of stations in that one area, that helps us too. So I may be giving you a call if I don't hear back from you, so look forward to seeing you around in the near future.
Okay, thanks everybody.
Thank you.
Good.
Bye.
To chat with you. And this, just a reminder, this is a closed circuit, not for broadcast, and hope you all have a pleasant afternoon. This is NPR, PRSS, National Public Radio.